Okay, so we started going through Tzelios yesterday. So I had said last week that that we'll try to get through it on Sunday and Monday, but considering that Shir was cut short on both days, I came late, meaning Shir was cut short yesterday, I came late today also, we probably won't get through it today, but hopefully we'll move on to Kuf Tzadi Aleph by Thursday. I think that's going to be the plan. I know that Kuf Tzadi is very, very long, but most of it is not so super duper lemaisa. So we're gonna move on. But I'm just trying to give like an overview of all the different tlios. That's basically what we're up to over here. So yesterday we discussed two major issues when it comes to tlios. We discussed when the colors are off from each other, they're not exactly the same, and if the sizes don't match up. So color and size are the first two issues that l'chora have to match up. Now, in that context, we pointed out that all of this really goes back to a Gemara and to two Lashonos that the Gemara has. So just to quickly chazer, because it's going to be relevant again, today the Gemara has on Daf Nun Tes has two Lashonos, and for those doing Kol Seder, I assume, right, you're up to this already, past the whatever. So the Gemara has these two Lashonos, where the first Lashon says, Nesaska Be'edom Ein Tol Bo Shachar, that if Yosek in red, you can't be tola shachar, you can't be tola black, that you see a black stain, you can't say, oh, it probably comes from the red blood that I was just dealing with, because how does that work? How could it be that it would be a black stain from the red blood? So the Gemara says, Amarava nimtza le min echad tola bo kama minim. So the Gemara says, but how could you say that? Doesn't Rava say that nimtza le min echad, you could be tola kama minim? So the Gemara answers on this aska shayni, that when she knows that she was dealing, what she was dealing with and what she's being tola on, so it has to match that color. But she just found a kesem, and it could have come from anywhere, so she can assume that a kesem of a different color also came from the outside without her knowing. And then the Gemara says, Ikeda Amri Amarava, Nisaska v'minechad, Tolabo kama minim, Meisve, Nisaska bedomein, Tolabo shachar. The Gemara asks this stira in Rava, this kashan Rava, how can he say that you could be Tolabo kama minim when you're osik and minechad? I thought that if you find the black stain, you cannot attribute it to red blood that you were dealing with. So now Kikama Rava, so now the Gemara introduces this new idea, the Yaskabatarna Golta, the Ispa kama mine dama. That when Rava said that, we told it kama minim, it's talking about when you were osik in something that is kama minim, or that contains kama minim, and then Gemara starts going through what all the different mine dam of a or the Rabbi Chanan explains what all the different mine dam of a chicken are. So since a chicken has so many different mine dam in different parts of its body, so you could be told a kama minim from the Tarnagolas. And we pointed out nafkamita between the two lashonos is if she finds a kesem on a part of her clothing that could not have come from her body, which is the previous sugya that we were talking about. So, and then she finds a kesem on part of her clothing that could have come from her body. Can you be told a kesem that's under the belt on a kesem that's above the belt, not knowing where that kesem came from? According to the Lishna Basra, you can't be tola kesem be kesem, because she wasn't osik be tarnigol. Only if you're osik be tarnigol, you can be tola on kama mine damin. But according to the Lishna Kama, that as long as you have something that you know is not mikufa, even other mine dam, you could be tola. So that relates very much to a Chumas HaRamah that the Taz quotes over here in Sif Katan Mem Aleph. And this is, I guess, what we'll call rule number three. Again, I just followed Rabbi Forst over here. I thought he patterned it and he organized it very, very well. So the Taz in Sif Katan Mem Aleph quotes a Chumas HaRamah that if you have a single stain together with something that came from her body, so you have some red, but it's also some other secretion from her body, then you're not allowed to be tola the red part in something else, in something that didn't come from her body. Because you know you're looking at one kesem, part of it is red, part of it is not red. The not red part you know is a secretion from her body, so you're not allowed to be tola that the red part is from the tarnagol that she was dealing with, or the red part is from her paint night the other night, or anything else. Meaning a woman found a kesem yosemi kagris, she had a maka to be tola, let's say, but she also found maros tahoros that didn't come from the maka, that came megufa, that she knows came megufa. How would she know that it came megufa? I don't know. Maybe she maybe she has these secretions all the time. Maybe she saw. I don't know. But she knows that it came megufa. and it's one big stain. So the question is, should we assume that just like the Maris Taharus from Migufa, so was the Maritame is also Migufa, and therefore she's Tame? Or do you say, no, I have the Taliyah, I have the Makkah that I know I have, so I could be told of the red part in the Makkah, even though I know that the other parts of the stain are not from the Makkah, the other parts of the stain are Migufa. So it's interesting, it's interesting not because this comes up, but because it's just interesting. It's just like the rayas are interesting back and forth in this this Tshuvas HaRambam. The idea that Maros Tahoros, that women have a propensity to have Maros Tahoros, that does come up. That does come up. I just had yesterday someone called and said that she's not expecting to get her period now. She's in Shiva Nikiyam, actually, and she said that she feels she feels a flow. That's how she described it. She feels a flow, and then she checks, and most of the time it's a maratahar, meaning it's clearly a maratahar. And then sometimes she sees, meaning like it's like a clear mucus or something. It's a very clear, very obvious maratahar. And sometimes it's like a brownish mara, or it could be even reddish, but it's on colored underwear. So she's not sure. How should she treat that? She's not in Zayin Nikim, she's in she's Tahora, right? That was the case. She's not in Shiva Nikim, she's Tahora. She had gone to the mikvah, let's say, a week ago, and now she's wearing colored underwear, like she's supposed to, and she keeps feeling stuff, and when she feels stuff, am I getting a Shaila wrong? I seem to remember it was Bikdei Tzivonim, so it must be that she was Tahora. So the Shaila is, does she have to be concerned that she's having an actual flow of dam? So is that a hargasha? Do you have to be choshish that that's considered that she has a real hargasha? So I don't know if she said she means she feels something. I don't know if that means that that's qualifies as hargasha. She knows that something is going on, but whatever's going on produces a maritahar most of the time. So there are women that know that they have these secretions of a maritahar. So here you have a woman, she knows she produces maritahars all the time, and along with maritahara, I guess this is exactly the shadow was asked yesterday. So, along with the maritahara comes out a little bit of dam, but the dam you could be told in something else. So the Rama brings a couple of points. The Rama suggests that it's a problem. You got to be machmir, and his raya is from the Lishna Kama. That the Lishna Kama, that if she finds Lamala Menachagur, she could be told a Kesem that's Mitachas Lachagur, because she knows that that which is Lamala Menachagur, she knows that which was above the belt certainly came from outside. It certainly came from somewhere else. So just like we're told Lahakel, to say that the upper Kesem is a result of walking through a Shukshal Tabachim, that it must have come from somewhere, because, you know, it's like finding, like, again, the example here, it's like finding a Kesem on the ceiling. I don't know where it came from, but it definitely didn't come Me'el Samakum. So finding a Kesem on the upper part of her garment, I don't know where it came from, but I know where it didn't come from. So you could be Tolu Lahakel that there must have been some event, some exposure to some dam that impacted the bottom part of her garment as well. So says the Rama, here's the Rama's jump. So too, Lechumra, that you could say that that if there's one known and one unknown, that the unknown follows the known. So if the one known thing is that there was something that came Megufa, the unknown is, where did this red come from? Did it come Megufa, or did it come Minamak or Mishukshal Tabakum or something else? So the unknown follows the known. So just like we said, the Gemara had said that if she finds the Malam and Achagur, so that's the known. That we know did not come Megufa. That's a Vadai Lav Megufa. So whatever it is, the Matam and Achagur, I don't know if it's Megufa or not Megufa, I'm allowed to be told of the Hakel. Then it came Lav Megufa. So too Lechumra, when you flip it around, if I have a known and unknown, the known is that the clear Mara came Megufa. The unknown is, where did the red come from? So you tell Lahachmir that the red also came, Megufa. So says the Rama in the Tshuva. Then the Rama goes on to say that even according to the Lishna Basra, that we're not Tola Kesem Mimenecha Bekesem Minacher, unless she was Nisasik Pertarnagol, which has Kama Mine Damim, he says, we only see that we're not Tola Betseva Acher Lahakel, but Lahachmir we might be Tola. Meaning, even the Shabbasra, it says, you can't be Mekel if you find a black stain and you were Osek in red, unless you were Osek Petarnagol, unless you were dealing with something that has Kamamine Danim, yeah, we can't be mekil, but maybe we can be machmir, that if you know that you have one mara, that the other mara also, and that came in gufa, that the other mara also came in gufa. So the Ramah starts by saying, Lishna Kama is on my side. Maybe you're going to tell me that we pass like Lishna Basra, which we don't, but even if you were to want to pass like Lishna Basra, that's on my side also. Lishna Basra would not necessarily be a raya against me. And then the Ramah writes, and anyway, this is the same as Nisasek Batarnagal. Where's the chicken? So he says, well, an Isha has kama minidan, meaning she's secreting something clear, so she secretes all sorts of colors. So it's the same as the Sasek Botanical, where you can attribute all of the colors that come out to an Isha, meaning an Isha also produces red sometimes. So if you found some red in the state, that also you can be told in the Isha. So that's the Ramah's presentation, essentially, of his Shita. Those three points, right? Point number one, that the Lishna Kama tells us that you could be Tola Lahakel if you have a known and an unknown. So you could be Tola the unknown in the known Lahakel. So here also you could be Tola the unknown red in the Mara Tahar Lahachmir. Point number two, that even according to the Lishon Basra, we only see that we're not tola one color on another color lahakel, but maybe we will be tola one color on another color lahakmir. So Lishon Basra is not necessarily against me. And point number three, according to the Lishon Basra, you need to be nisasek b'tarnagol. This is nisasek b'tarnagol, kind of, because she produces all sorts of minedam. Good, that's the Ramah. So the Taz, Sivkat Mem Aleph, he asks on the Ramah, and he says, wait, there's a big difference between what Rava says in the Gemara and the case that we're dealing with. Meaning, the Ramah is saying, use the logic that the Gemara says, Lahakel, and let's apply that Lahachmir. But Ksamim are meant to be Lahakel, meaning we're always Nota Lahakel by Ksamim. You can't use the same logic that we are making with Ksamim and then flip that around Lahachmir, meaning it's not about fitting everything into the same logic when it comes to Ksamim. Takanas Chacham is to be makel as possible when it comes to Tlios, right? That Tlios were supposed to be Lahakel. And furthermore, if it's true that the Makar has so many Mine Damin and is just like a Tarnagol, so then we should be machmir even if she sees lavan in one spot and red in a different spot, just like we are by a tarnagol. And is that true? Meaning by a tarnagol we're makil that if she finds two different stains, one above the belt, one below the belt, or in different places, and she was osik b'tarnagol, you attribute everything, all the minei dam to a tarnagol. So would you be machmir also like that? Say that if they weren't one stain, she had a maritar and a maritame, and you say, well, it all comes from the isha. So the marit, so you're gonna be machmir as well. And that can't possibly be true, because if it were, then any woman that has a maka to be tola, and if she finds a maritar, she'll no longer be able to be tola. Meaning, any woman that has a maka, the as soon as she has any secretion from her body, she can't be tola b'maka anymore. Meaning, because the tliya goes away as soon as you logically make this a case of tarnagol. And by logically making it a case of tarnagol, you're saying that if as long as there are two different colors, you assume that all the colors came from the same place. And the tarnagol in this case is the isha. Don't take that quote out of context, right? The tarnagol in this case is the isha. So you have to assume that the dam came from her. So meaning, if you take the Ramah to its logical conclusion, it's not only in a single state. If we're in multiple states, you have to say the same logic. Because by the tarnagol, we say the same logic by multiple states. So multiple states, you have to say the same logic, l'chumra. So he says, I don't know if the Ramah realizes what he did over here. He just made it that it's pretty much impossible, the tarisha l'bailu, when it comes to a case of a tliya. No tliya is ever going to work, because women have all sorts of secretions. So if something comes out, as long as anything comes out of her, then every tliya is off the table. Then you can no longer apply a tliya. Because the woman, as soon as something else comes out of her, the woman becomes a tarnagol, right? She immediately turns into a chicken, where everything is going to be told, and everything is going to be assumed to come from the woman. So that's the Taz against that Rama. Again, not so Nogel and Isa because it doesn't come up. But I thought it was an interesting back and forth in terms of how to read that back into the Gemara, the two Lashonos in the Gemara, and how to to what extent we go with these Tliyos. Point number four. The Gemara in Daf Nun Ches tells us, Safek Gemara B'Shuk Shal Tabachin Om Yashu B'Tzadim Misaskim B'Ksamim Eina Toledem. Let's say she's not even sure that she went to the butcher shop that day. She doesn't remember. She's not sure if she was in proximity of those who were Osek in different, she went to a paint night or whatever. So then, Eina Toledem. We only rely on a Tliya if there was a definite Tliya, meaning not that you know that that's where the blood came from. That you don't need. You don't need to have a idea that the blood came from that place, but you at least have to know that you had exposure to that place. If you might not have even been around that Tliya, then you can't rely on that Tliya. So if you look in the Badei Ashulchan, in the Biurim on Sivchav Beis, he suggests that that's true even for a Menekes, a Zakena, and a Mu'uberes. Meaning, you always have to, if Tliyas are all about what is logical and what is reasonable, so what the Shulchan is telling us is it becomes unreasonable to assume you went to Shuk Shal Tabachim if you don't know that you went to Shuk Shal Tabachim. That Tliya means that since there was some sort of exposure, you're allowed to assume it came from that exposure. But the Baal Yashulchan takes it a step further and says, and even if the alternative defies logic also. It's not just that Tliya is logical, it's that Tliya is a particular mechanism in halacha. Meaning, if we're purely about logic, so you always have to balance both alternatives. The woman is 70 years old. What are the chances that she became... Now, if a 70-year-old becomes a nida, she has to go to the mikvah also, right? But a woman is pregnant. Sometimes women that are pregnant do have to go to the mikvah, not just the skula kind of going to the mikvah. I often get that shaila. I'm in my ninth month, I'm going to the mikvah. Ayve, what happened? Did you call your doctor? No, it's a skula that if I go to the mikvah at the same time as a friend who's trying to conceive, that she's going to have a baby. So do I have to? So the woman always wants to know: do I have to do a chafifa? Like, do I need shuv nikiyim? Do I need to? And the answer is
what?
Well, not trained to answer these kinds of questions. Yes, that's always the answer. Do whatever you want. You can go swimming whenever you want. But I was not trained to answer these kinds of questions. This has nothing to do with it. Yeah. So, but sometimes a woman just she sees dam during pregnancy. So obviously the first call is always to the doctor, but the second call is to the rabbi. So the first call is to the doctor, make sure everything's okay. Very often the doctor will say, yeah, it's fine. There was something in and the doctor will sometimes confirm there was something in the uterus that it came from, but the pregnancy's okay. Then she's going to have to go to the mikvah very often. So it's very uncomfortable for a pregnant woman to go to the mikvah. She feels weird about it because she feels like she shouldn't be there. But sometimes it happens, not so often, but sometimes it happens that a pregnant woman has to go to the mikvah, or a zakena, I guess. Sometimes, like dam chimud, we're going to learn about that. A zakena maybe also has to go to the mikvah sometimes. A menika, right, happens way more often than used to happen in times of the Gemara. Times of the Gemara, the assumption was that a menekes never went to the, never became. But the Badei Shulchan says that it's not about measuring how reasonable it is. It's that there's a mechanism called Tliya, and the mechanism called Tliya only works. That heter called Tliya only works if there's a known Tliya. Known Tliya doesn't mean that you know for sure that where it came from, but it means that you know that you had that exposure. And the same is true with any. It's lav dafka b'shuk shel tabachin. She's not sure if she was osek b'dam tarnagolas. Any suffix tliya. We just the reason that the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara picks that case of she doesn't know if she was over b'shuk shel tabachin is because that's just the most common thing to be mesupak about. She doesn't know where she went as opposed to she doesn't know what she had done. Right, much more likely that she just doesn't know where she's been rather than not even aware of what she was actively involved in. But look at me, if she's not sure whether she was Osek B'Tarnagol. So the Rashba writes that if there are Tabachim all around town, then you don't need to know that you... if she lives in the meatpacking district, so she doesn't remember that she goes to Shuk Shel Tabachim, but like, that's where you live. Everywhere you go is a Shuk Shel Tabachim. So then you don't need to know that you went to Shuk Shel Tabachim. Taz says that we essentially view the entire town as a Shuk Shel Tabachim. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Sivchat Beis. He quotes the Gemara with that addition of the Rashba. You need to have a known tliya, but that is a known tliya if you live in what is essentially a shuk shel tabachim. The Arzarua explains that it's based on the Svek Sveik Lechumah. The Svek Sveik Lechumah goes like this. Maybe she didn't go near Dam in the first place, meaning maybe she wasn't, meaning going back to that Dina de Gemara, that if she doesn't live in the meatpacking district, that you can't, if she doesn't know if she was in Shuk Shal Tabachim, then you have to assume, then you can't be Samech on a Tliya. So he says, maybe she didn't go near blood in the first place, and if she did go near blood, how do you know that the stain came from that blood? Meaning, even a Tliya, even when you have a Tliya, you don't know for sure. Even a Tliya itself is only a Safek. It's just that when it's one Safek, we're Mekil. But if you don't even know if you have a Tliya, so then you have a Svek Sveik Luchumra. That maybe she didn't go to Lashuk Shal Tabachim, even if she did go to Lashuk Shal Tabachim, she doesn't know that that's where the stain came from. Maybe the stain came in Gufa. So in the Tshuvas Beis Shlomo Yordei Chelik Beis Min Yadalev, he explains that it's based on Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. Not based on Svek Sveik. It's based on Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. What's the Vadai? What's the Safek? He says as follows. The Vadai is that the uterus has blood. The other source is a Safek, because you don't even know if there was another source. So, we might have Kamina whether you say the Lumdus is based on Svek Svek or the Lumdus is based on Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. So, if you understand that it's based on the Svek Svek, then why don't we have to compare the colors? After all, maybe the colors don't match, and even if they do, maybe the Dam came from her and not from the external source. If the base is Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, you could argue that without comparing the colors, you have two Vadai sources of Dam. So it could be that that's the nafkamina between the two. So again, the Arzarua understands that it's based on Svek Svek Luchumra. Beis Shlomo understands that it's based on Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. And Beis Shlomo points out that the nafkamina between saying Ein Safek Svek Luchumra versus Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai may be about whether one is required to compare the colors to the Shuk Shel Tabachim, to the Dam that she actually found. That if it's Midin Svek Sveka, so l'chora, you should have to compare the colors, because then you have to be mevarer the safek. But if it's about Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, you could argue that as long as you have a vadai source of dam, then Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. And if you have two vadai sources of dam, then you don't say Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai.
Why can't you say speak on kuals the other way?
How?
Maybe she did pass by a shuk, and maybe.
But even. Stop right there. That's not a Safek Lekula. Passing by a Shuk is itself not a Kula. It has to be that the Dam is Tahar. She could have been flowing Dam out of her uterus as she passed by the Shuk. Right? So it has to, you know, it has to get Lugufa Shalinyan. It has to get to the issue itself. Right, so that's point number four. That very same Tshuva in the Beis Shlomo, Chelik Beis Simen Yadalid, it says, similar to the previous idea, that the Tliya has to have been known at the time that you found the Kesem. Meaning, what's the most common Tliya? You know, like a woman says, I found some Dam in my underwear. So in your underwear, so now we're not looking for scabs on your toes, right? Meaning, so what's the most common Kesem? Most common Tliya in that case. Do you have any irritation? Do you have a yeast infection? Right? Things like that. Right? So the woman finds a kesem in the afternoon. She calls and she asks a shayla, I found a kesem. It's not white underwear. It's yosemite kagris. It's red. It's, you know, all strikes against her. Right? Do you have any tliya? Not that I can't think of any tliya. There's nothing wrong with it. And then she starts feeling irritation at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? I feel a little, what did I say first? 1 o'clock? Yeah, I don't remember what I said. Earlier. Then later, after she calls the rabbi, she starts feeling irritation. And she looks and she feels she has a yeast infection or something like that. Or a hemorrhoid, or just an irritation. But she only discovered the tliya afterwards. So Beis Shlomo says that the way a tliya works is that the tliya has to have been already known at the time of the kesem. Now it's possible that she just had a the irritation was there the whole time. She just didn't start feeling the pain from it. She has a high pain threshold, or it wasn't starting to hurt until later. And the doctor may even say, yeah, that sometimes happens, or whatever. But it wasn't a known tliya. Meaning, again, we have to fit the mechanism called tliya and not only go with logic. right? So it wasn't a known tliya at the time of the Metzias HaKesem, then that's not a tliya. You just discover the yeast infection after finding the stain. You have to be concerned that maybe it wasn't there before. And the Beis Shlomo gives the example of a woman who found the kesem and then went back to a bench that she had previously sat on and found that it was full of tzoas tarnagol. She forgot to look before, or whatever. But she sees that that bench has all sorts of stuff on it. But she has no idea if the tzoa was there on the bench at the time that she sat on it. So she sat on the bench earlier in the day, she didn't look at all. Now she sees a kesem on her dress, and then she comes back and she sees, oh, that bench is full of tzoa. Tzoa started golden, which I guess could sometimes be a reddish tinge. I haven't analyzed the tzoa started golden. But I assume, although when you park in lot H, you end up with tzoa all over your car. So I have seen a little more than enough tzoa in my day. But that's not Tarnu Golem, I don't think. Could be humans from the neighboring buildings. I mean, but I didn't say that out loud. There's a Chuvas Marasham in Chayil Gimel Sim Shin Samach Tes that if a woman has a chronic hemorrhoid condition that hasn't bled in a while, and now after the stain she notices that it's flared up again, that is considered pre-existing. We need to, like, to what extent do you assume that a tliya has to be a known tliya? So he says, if a woman has a chronic condition, so that's like a constant state of affairs. Even though right now, you know, she doesn't know that it's happening, but if it keeps coming back. So I don't know how you define chronic. You know, I view this Chuvas Marasham as a similar svara to what Rav Shaflu calls in Mikveh Atzon from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky about Eretz Yisrael B'Shas Melchama. Right, that Rav Shaflu quotes from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that when Rav Huttner was taken captive, when the plane was hijacked, so the number of the Talmidim of Chaim Berlin wanted to get together and pay ransom, so they went to the State Department and they said, "We'll pay millions of dollars to get our Rebbe back," and the State Department said, "We don't negotiate with terrorists." But the old saying in Israel goes is that there are two rules in dealing with terrorists. Number one, we don't negotiate with terrorists. Number two is we always negotiate with terrorists. You know, according to but in I guess in the State Department they were serious about it. So they don't negotiate with terrorists. So but anyway, they asked the Shaitan to Yaakov before they went to the State Department, are we allowed to do this? Are you allowed to be poda a shava yosu mikdei damav? Because the halacha is in Gar Gittin, you're not allowed to be poda a shava yosu mikdei damav. But when he's a Rabban Tzrichim Lo, when he's a Gadol Ador, and that kind of thing, so then you are allowed to say, so the footner l'choras meets the category of a Gadol Ador. So Yaakov Kamenetsky says he does, he might, that's true, but that's only, that halacha is only b'shas shalom. When it's shas mulchama, then it doesn't apply, because at shas mulchama, you're not allowed to do anything that strengthens the enemy. And he said, Medina Sisrael, since Hakamas HaMedina, has been in a perpetual state of Shas Mulchama. Right? It's been in a constant state of Shas Mulchama. Aye, but it hasn't been constant. Every now and then, there's another barrage of rockets, and there's another terrorist attack, and then there's some calm, and then there's, you know, the Israeli army reacts, and then there's an immediate call in the world for everyone should calm down, and then, it stops, and then it starts again. But it's not a constant state of Mulchama. So Yaakov Kamenetsky said, that's called the constant state of Mulchama. That's considered, meaning that as long as our cousins haven't made shalom with us and haven't come to grips with our existence, so that's called a constant state of Mulchama. So he said, this is supporting the enemy in the Shas Mulchama. I always wondered, like, what the relationship was like between Rabbi Yaakov and Rav Huttner after that psak. But be that as it may, the idea that something doesn't have to be constant in order for it to be considered present, it only needs to be consistent. So over here also, this isn't a constant. She just has a constant, a more consistent problem, or a chronic problem, and that's considered that the tliya exists the entire time. So that's what Marasham writes. Marasham is a big makel, but that is very mistaken. Yeah.
If she notices irritation when she bleeds, that doesn't count either. Like, it clearly existed beforehand. She just didn't see it until she bled and then had to look.
No, at the time of the Matthias Akesef. Yeah, the time of that's the tliya. Yeah.
It's kind of similar. Sitting on the chair, she has to see it before she sits, or after she gets it, before she leaves.
I think when she sees the chasm, she looks right away, it's there. But if, I think it's only la'achar mikain that would be a problem. Meaning you're saying it's always la'achar mikain, because right, unless she saw the tzoras started going before she sat down. So I don't know, it's like a tochei de dibur, or like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, if she like looks at a picture of a bench from, you know, 10 minutes before she sat down and sees it.
Oh, now we have videos. She looks at the footage.
Or even if there was like a witness or something like
right,
that.
Right.
This bench is always dirty, you know, like.
Right. Huh? I don't know. Does this come up a lot? I don't know if this happens too much. But again, it's interesting lumbus in terms of the mechanism of Talia. The sixth point that Rabbi Forst makes is just a repeat of what we said yesterday, Milt Stuck, according to Rabbi Kiva Eiger, right? That if there are two things to be told in, you can't combine their size to be told if the stain looks like one big stain. Meaning if she was, dealing with a kagris of red paint at her paint night last night, and also she had a kagris of... or red food coloring when she was making cookies or something that day. So she had two kagrisin, and then she finds a stain that's the size of two grisin, let's say. So you can't combine the two, if it all appears as one stain. So that's another din in Talia that the Talia has to be each one individually. Point number seven, and this is very Nogea Lamaisa, is that it's got to be reasonable. Meaning, if it's on the inner surface of her underwear, you can't be told of the Shuk Shel Tabachin. Because how would that, that's some magical dam, to be able to go from a butcher's knife to get through her dress and through her underwear on the reverse side, right? That wouldn't be shaykh. So Shulchan Aruch and Sifyut Ches gives the example, says that if it's found on the lower layer of clothing, you can assume that the upper layer is lifted for a moment. But Nimtzal Besara Ein Atol Elam Kin Yesh Lamaka Begufa, that if she finds it on her actual skin, directly on her skin, then you're not Tola unless there's a Maka on the Guf that can open up and bleed. That's interesting, because that seems like a little bit of a steven, right? Meaning on the one hand, we said she's wearing multiple layers of clothing, and you find it on the lower layer of clothing, okay, so you could be told whether they came from the outside. But in the but how did it get there? It would have had to go through the outer layers of clothing. And yet, we say that if she finds al-basara, then you can't be told it came from the outside, because she wears clothing. So how would it have gotten al-basara? So there are two, Rabbi Forst quotes two possible reasons that when you find an al-basara, we're not tola. First of all, Tosus in Nida Dafnan Zayin says that it's not reasonable that it would have bypassed her clothing. That how could it go past her clothing and get to a basara? Tosus says, but what about the fact that when it's on the lower layer of clothing, we're tola that it came from the, that it did bypass the clothing? So Tosus says, yeah, because a woman knows when she's wearing multiple layers of clothing, so she knows that she can lift up her clothing for a minute because she's wearing other clothing underneath that. So it's likely that she's the one that bypassed the outer layer of clothing. I mean, even Lavadaita, it's very likely that if she's wearing, a shell, a kikiriki or whatever, that she'll move her sweater around inside, or something like that. If she's wearing multiple layers of clothing, that she knows she has the protection. She has the tznius protection that she's not worried about moving her outer layer of clothing. But if she knows that she's only wearing one layer of clothing, then she's going to be very careful not to remove that layer of clothing. So it's unlikely that she would have lifted up her clothing and exposed her skin. The Rashba is quoting the Beis Yosef is saying a little differently, that you assume that the blood was from the body because it was found on the body, meaning similar to the concept of karov that you have in the second paragraph of Basra, that we learned from Egla Arufa, that it's considered that that's like that's mukhrach, the guf is one entity, and if she found it on the guf, it probably came from the guf, and that's the answer to Taisus Kasha. Why is it that when it's al-basara, we don't assume it came from the outside, but when it's on a lower layer of clothing, we do assume it came from the outside, because clothing is outside of her body. It's external to her body. So then you're allowed to assume it came from the outside. Whereas her basar is her basar. Nafkamina between the Rashba and Tosos. what if she finds a stain on part of her body that wasn't clothed? Right? She finds a stain on, on an area of her body that didn't have any clothing on it. So if you're going to say like Tosfos, right? So it's very reasonable that it came from the outside. Right, meaning if she knows she was Avra B'shuk Shal Tabachin, and she wears a skirt past her knees, and her socks start here, and she's got space in between, right? And she finds some dam on the space in between. We're not getting into right now whether you need stockings, don't need stockings, minakam akum or whatever, right? But let's assume that she has exposed over there, right, in that part of her leg, so. So if you're going to be told, if you're going to say like the Rashba, that anything that's on the guf is from the guf, that anything that's on the guf, you lose taliya, you lose the ability to make a taliya, so then you lose the ability to make a taliya. But if you can say like Tosfos said, no, the only reason the guf is different is because the guf would have had to bypass clothing, and how could she ever expose actual skin? She never would have done that. Yeah, but in a place where she would do that, then she would do that. So that l'chor is an afkamina between Tosfos and the Rashba. Rule number 8. If a place where the dam landed couldn't have come directly from the makom hatliya, then she can't be tola. Meaning, if it would have had to have another stop along the way, there's no direct train from the place where you're being tola in to where it comes from, to where it landed. For example, the blood could have only gotten from her wounds to her beged by her touching it with her hand and wiping it on the baguette. So then you can't be makel, right? So that's befitting tomorrow also. Unless we know that the wound from the blood had actually been on her hand. I mean, if you'd seen it on her hand, she knows she had this wound on her shoulder and she's like, oh, what's that? And she looks and she has a handful of blood. So now you know it was on her hand and now it's easy to then transfer it to the next place. But if she's not absolutely certain that the blood was on her hand or that the blood on her hand is from the wound, then she can't be told that the blood on the beged is from the wound via the hand. Rabbi Kiva Eiger on the Taz and Sifkat Yadalit explains, "Dikivan de nisaska b'ksamim v'nimtza gam al yodeha sheyadua shalichu chazeh hu meha esek bazeh," that since she was osek in ksamim and you found something on her hand and you know that the lichluch on her hand came from this esek in ksamim, "Mashe nimtza gam al gufa tolim biyodeha shenagasham." What you find on the guf, also you could be told on the yadayim. Dizel mikri makom makom. Do you do a shal yadayim lichluch dami alma? That's not called makom makom because you know about that was on the hand kamei alma. V'im kain yeshlomer de ba'avr v'nimtza al yadeha tolin. El de bezeh nimtza dam gam al gufa ein tolin. Kimtza lichluch shal yadeha ein bevaday dami alma ein tolin ma'ash al gufa. Shemek Veger makes a following chiluk, right? He says that if she has dam on her hand, where did the stam come from? So if she knows, she can answer where the stam came from. I was just dealing with a chicken, so I know exactly where the stam came from. So then you could be told that the dam al gufa from her hand. But if she was over b'shuk shal tabachim, she didn't know that any blood had splattered at all. So she didn't know that any blood was on her hand. And then she sees dam on her hand, but that could have come just as easy from her, scratching her thigh, like we discussed last week, and dam dripping. As easily as it could have come from a shuk shel tabachim, so then we can't be told that. But then Rabbi Kiva questions this and thinks maybe we can do a double tliya. So the gam zet tzarchi in ktsas. So mikol makom neima de masha al gufa, who may halichluch shel faneinu al yadayim, bekivut de dam da halichluch who may alma, kivut de avra, may la hachdam shel gufa tara de dino kedin adam shel yada. So understand, if we know that the dam that's al gufa, that the dam that's on her leg came from her hand, so then we're not being done on the dam that's on her leg. We know where that came from. That came from her hand. We only need to be done on the dam that's on her hand. And if she was offered b'shuk shel tabachin, so then it, that's good enough. That's all you need to be tola the dam that's on her hand. Meaning that the Rebbe Kiva Eiger says the idea that you find dam al gufa when her hands are full of dam is pashut that one relates to the other. And if you know that that you have a taliya for the dam al yadayim, he says, I don't see why that would be a problem of a double taliya to associate them. And then a final rule, and with this we'll close for today. And then Baruch Hashem on Wednesday we'll go through, I guess, the most common tlios, and that will wrap up Siman Kutzadi. But the final rule Rabbi Forrest quotes is, he quotes a May Nida, that a woman can't purposely take up painting when she's expecting staining problems in order to create a tliya. Meaning she knows that she's having issues of tzamin. So we already discussed, right, with Rabbi Salovsky last week, could she put a panty liner in or something like that as a way of avoiding issues of tzamin. Okay, could she take up painting? She said, I'm going to paint, I like dealing with reds. You know, I'm going to paint sunsets with a lot of reds. So is she allowed to do that? Because then she'll know, she'll always have a tliya. So the Menida says you're not allowed to do that. She could wear colored underwear or even change her underwear to avoid a gris. That she's allowed to do, and that we even encourage doing. So why is a paint night not something that we encourage? So my force explains that a colored garment is totally exempt from the laws of Ksamim, whereas a tliya is a situation where Chazal are makel based on a suffix. Big Day Tzvonim is not based on a suffix. Big Day Tzvonim, they would never go to Ksamim. A tliya is based on a suffix. You're not supposed to generate a suffix when the suffix doesn't have to be there. Less than a gris is not included in Gzeiras Ksamim. So she can generate Pachos Migris by changing her underwear frequently. But you can't generate a suffix. Now, all of that is questionable, right? Meaning, you could have argued that a colored garment is also based on a suffix. Because what's the whole lumdus of the colored garment? Is that you can't see the mindan, you can't see exactly the color. You also could have argued pachas migris is the same as a tliya. Let's throw it on the... We already threw that on the list of nafkaminas, I think, right? So in our 10 nafkaminas between whether pachas migris is not part of Xeris Ksamim or it's a tliya, right? This would be a nafkamina. Are you allowed to generate a case of pachas migris? You're not allowed to generate a tliya on purpose, but you're allowed to create a situation of pachas migris. Again, we assume pachas migris generally, we assume is not a tliya, that it's just not included in Xeris Ksamim, so therefore we can be makil on that level. Okay, so Bez Hashem, on Wednesday, we'll go through some of the common tliyos, and then we'll move on to Kuf Sadiyah. Okay, everyone have a great day. Sorry I was late today.